What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer. Carl has the morning off this morning. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to trade 30 minutes from now, of course. You can see we are looking for a down open. Let's get to our roadmap. It does start with the, well, September slump for stocks, at least so far. Technology stocks heading lower once again, at least many of them. And as you saw, futures are extending losses. This after worse than expected jobless claims. Plus, there are concerns about overall economic growth. Goldman Sachs cutting in half its fourth quarter growth forecast, given it doesn't see any new stimulus in sight. And that TikTok trade, well, you can't really trade it, can you? Because it's not a public company. But ByteDance is formally seeking China's approval for a deal with Oracle and Walmart. Those are two publicly traded companies. Yes, they are, Jim. Let's talk markets. Let's start with that. You know, it's funny. I don't know what you make of the pullback today, to the extent we're going to have one, or what we've been seeing in Apple lately. I keep wondering, coming back to that SoftBank option purchase that we talked about it for a day or two, and then we moved on. A number of people have come back to Jim and sort of said maybe it had a bigger impact than we realized in terms of the run-up.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. It did jack the market up in 1999 fashion, which, of course, you know, led to 2000, 2001, which was a disaster. And it was, frankly, unnatural. Other than Zoom, almost every one of those stocks that they took up have been crushed. And Apple tested down 25% on Monday.
Yes.
Could see it again. So, David, you're right. I mean, that kind of unnatural buying was very similar to herd buying we have seen together whenever we have right before a really big sell-off. So, yeah, it was artificial, just like 1987 when the Japanese would come in every morning, artificial. I'd like to know more about the trade, but I think you got to beat on something that I had not thought about. I really like that.
Yeah, no, listen, I think you're right. We need to know more. And unfortunately, I don't have great insight. I mean, they were selling puts to buy calls. Maybe it's all over and done with at this point. It's not clear that it actually did work out, given how big it was. But it was an enormous, enormous trade.
Yeah, David, what's interesting is that they thought that the market could handle it. Like it was another generation, like it was the 90s and the 2000s. Everything is so thin. When you come in with with options coming in, you come in blazing, you do a blitz, the other side of the trade just freaks out. And so what you have is you could just have this incredible short buy, cover that just takes it. It turned into something where even without any bad earnings, because the earnings were actually pretty good. We fell apart, and I think that it didn't have anything to do with stimulus, didn't have anything to do with earnings, it just had to do with the fact that the unnatural buying could not be sustained. And now we're dealing with the September hangover. We've got a couple more days. I actually think I use the proprietary oscillator I pay for from the S&P, and it came finally. It's near five, minus five, and that typically is historically meaning you have to do some buying. So I'm there on that's my view. You have to do some buying.
Okay, and you've been saying that for the last couple of days.
Yeah, because it's really ugly. Monday was terrible. We retest Monday. Yeah, there's a note today, David. This is typical what I'm talking about. There's a note from Morgan Stanley about Alphabet, about Google, and they raised the price target, and they also talk pretty lovingly about the earnings and about search. But the main thing is I look it up. David, the stock's up 5%. I mean, 5%, that's not that dangerous. Good balance sheet, right?
Right.
Doing a lot of things right. That's not an expensive stock. Now, you might have thought that, well, that must be up 20% for the year. No, we've given up a gigantic chunk of performance, both in the soft goods, the Coroxes, the McCormicks, and also in the Alphabets. And yes, anything other than Zoom, the cloud stocks. The cloud stocks have been rolling over for a long time. No one talks about how awful this market has been away from tech. Look, you know, there's a note today about Wells Fargo talking about the stagecoach maybe leaving. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that, like John Ford or something? holy cow. I mean, stagecoach not going anywhere except for where I can see it. I don't think this is a compelling buying opportunity because look at the banks. Look at the tangible book of Goldman Sachs. We're well south of the tangible book. A note this morning upgrading. Now, Jeff, this is all leading up to Jefferies, David, which you know better than anybody. They had a better than expected quarter.
They had a great quarter. Jefferies had a very strong quarter. Records on a lot of different fronts there. Yeah.
So what does that say? I mean, that's a transactional firm.
It is.
And
it is.
A lot of the transactional part of Goldman must be doing great.
You would think so, yes.
So I don't know. I don't want to recommend any bank stock for fear of looking like a fool. But Jefferies bought a huge amount of stock at 16. You don't usually think of these brokers buying back stock. And I just think that group has to bottom. And we need to see Apple and Microsoft, Facebook bottom, and then we're going to get an okay market. I do think we need to see some rollovers in the ones that haven't rolled over. I don't think that Snowflake should still be up here. I don't think that the CrowdStrike should still be up here. Okta's too high. David, I don't know. People come in and buy Zoom as a default, and I question that too.
Yeah. I guess you can, and you can continue to, given the multiple of revenues that we're talking about there.
I don't know,
are we at 100 years or 50 years of revenues?
They're 60. Yeah. I'm actually back up 70. And then you look at something like a Nikola, and you say, Nikola, you say to yourself, well, wait a second. I mean, there was a stock that was at 80.
Yeah, Wedbush, they suddenly see that the light has turned from yellow to red.
Yeah,
and they're now downgrading.
I always love a heads up like that.
Yeah.
You know, 19,
it's been
18?
A Twilight Zone-like few weeks for Nikola investors, they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, some highs, the flagship GM partnership, and then there's a couple of lows. I didn't see your Mad Money piece on it, but I did read it yesterday. You were pretty unsparing.
I blew this one to Kingdom Come about 20 points ago.
Criticism.
Well, because I didn't believe in the BP deal, which, of course, the short seller, Hindenburg, Lakehurst, New Jersey, blew up the BP deal because once he didn't really blow it up, BP finally realized,
well,
second.
Well, they may have or they may not have. I mean, from Nicola's point of view, you could say, listen, we were very close to actually getting yet another anchor of our strategy. We had the GM deal. We were going to get this starting to move on these hydrogen stations in a significant way with a partner there. And we would have actually executed on the vision if not for this piece.
Well, I mean, again, though, David, that truck that looked like it was going 60 barreling down some interstate, but it was really just going down a hill.
Going down a hill.
That's
now, listen,
a bad set. That's
that was
a bad fact for BP.
That was not a good. That was
how
not
about
a good
Bosch?
Fact. By the way, they never said it was self-propelled.
I got a
in
Bosch.
Their defense, they never actually said it.
David, Bosch is on the board.
Yes, they are.
Bosch dishwasher. It's a real company.
They got some real companies.
So doesn't
on,
Bosch
yes.
have to step off the board? Or are they just going to say, you know what? We really don't care who we're affiliated with.
I don't know, Jim.
I mean, listen,
Stephen Gursky's a real guy, too. He's the executive.
So is Jeff Ubbins.
Jeff Ubbins is a real guy.
But, David, sometimes you just get had. Yeah.
Sometimes you do.
Mary Barron, did she know about the magical truck?
I don't know what she knew or didn't know.
How about Milton Trevor? Where's he been?
he's in quarantine.
Oh,
but not related to COVID.
Stephen Gursky is a real guy. Now, what you really want to have is those guys come on and say, you know what? I really screwed this up. But they never do that. They double down. Now we're talking too much about Nikola? You want to focus? What do you want for jobless claims?
We can talk about jobless claims. No, I'm happy to talk about whatever you want.
Darden.
I want to talk about Darden. I like when you focus. I don't want to talk about Darden. How about that? I don't.
You know?
No, I want to keep talking about speculation in this market. Reflected in part in those shares of Nikola, which hit a high of 88 or 90. Did you see this thing called SBI Energy yesterday?
Oh, yeah. What was that like? Isn't this California?
It was a 40-fold increase in a day.
Yeah, well,
I've never seen anything quite like
insisting
that.
We love solar.
It was a hemp company. It's Chinese, so your favorite. You love those Chinese companies. Yeah. It was a buck. It was about to be delisted, and then they moved suddenly into EV.
Well, that's good.
And the stock yesterday was up at one point.
Is it a SPAC, too?
40-fold. I'm not saying 4,000%.
Well, yeah, that's a nice gain.
That's
like it's like Powerball. It's like somebody won Powerball.
Yeah.
right?
Still
a
there.
New Hampshire person went
and
to a
your,
Delta
your Robinhood traders are still out there. They're still out there, Jim.
Yeah, well, Friar Tuck is about to, well, anyway. David, here's what's interesting.
Is Friar Tuck Dave Portnoy? Is that who he is?
I don't think. No, he's doing the sports book there. Okay. You know, he's still doing stocks, yeah. And he's a Brazilian fella. David, there are some calls that I thought that you were going to drive me to in terms of a speculative stock.
Okay.
Disney. I mean, when you see, no, I'm not kidding, when you see Needham lowering, cutting numbers by 26%, yeah. Booking for a 69-cent loss, Parks down 69%. David, that's not good.
It's not good. Parks
not
is
good.
Tough. We know that. We know that as well for Comcast. And theme parks is a tough business to be in.
When in, you a pandemic?
Park in a
What's
pandemic?
What's the first yeah. pandemic?
No, listen, at least they're open. People
yeah,
are
they
coming.
Are, they are open, but when they
you don't
start
have movie
the
theaters
habit.
Open as well. It's
it, which one?
Movie theaters, remember those? It's still
yeah,
in a, kind of an important part of it. And then sports rights and, you know, listen, the bundle. We know all the questions, but investors, Jim, are solely focused on one thing at Disney, and you know what it is.
What?
It's direct to consumer, right? That's it. That's
Why
all
not?
They care about.
Why not? Ultimate Fight Club, by the way, you know that's on some island somewhere. We don't know where that is in order to be able to prevent COVID.
Is that what they're doing that?
Yes, they're on an island.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
So it's
Fantasy
an island,
island
with all these Ultimate Fighters
that?
On that?
Fantasy, you ever seen Pinocchio? It's really scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of Disney, right? I mean, when they shoot a... How about Thumper? How's he doing? No, I mean, Bambi's mother?
Yes, Bambi.
Fantasy
yes.
Island? This stuff yes. is too scary. I won't even watch it. Talk about Twilight Zone. I love some of these calls today, David.
Okay.
I'm thinking this Bed Bath & Beyond call is the one. It's the call of the day.
Uh-oh.
Bear making a lot of big calls. Foundational changes occurring. 80% of the analysts hate it, 58% short. It is a home spending opportunity, and they're calling it too hard to ignore. I like that. I mean, I like that, but I also do the other side. I like Nike coming down. There's a lot to like today.
Well, Nike had a great day yesterday. Bed Bath, look at that.
How do you like that? John Duskin got involved there.
The physical stores are doing okay, or is it really just, is it the digital channel for them that they have to hope?
They have to put in a digital channel.
Yeah, I know. That's what
I know I'm being a little bit scattershot here, but the market's scattershot.
Well, let's come back to the broad market for a second, and then okay. I want to talk Apple. I mean, we mentioned briefly at the very top this downgrading of the fourth quarter expectations
right.
by Jan Hatzius over at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
And the reason, of course, seems to be that we estimate the withdrawal of fiscal support will reduce disposable income in the fourth quarter to roughly the pre-pandemic level, implying that a final round of extra unemployment benefits is currently being dispersed and nothing further is coming because we're not going to get a deal out of Congress. They go from 6 to 3% GDP growth on a quarterly annualized basis for the fourth quarter.
Well, if the market just craters, don't the Republicans come to the table? And President Trump doesn't want that. The more the market goes down, the more likely we have stimulus.
Because he's focused on the stock market.
Completely.
Well, yeah. He's focused on a number of things.
Well, he doesn't want the stock market to go down.
No.
He doesn't have a lot of firepower like Powell does, but he can come in and make a deal. With the Republicans. David, you keep talking Apple. I see you, Apple, and I raise you with Jabil. Jabil had a better-than-expected quarter. They pre-announced today. What does Jabil make in electronic manufacturing? They make Apple.
Right.
They make the cell phone. They're
right.
one of the many makers. This thing is doing quite well. Meanwhile, people are selling Apple, taking it down 25%. Why? Because the chart's bad. The chart's bad, Apple.
Well, it's been rare has been the day when you haven't liked Apple, but you certainly seem to be very positive on it.
I've liked it since 2.5. That's a good call.
That's a very good
call. A lot of people think I'm knucklehead on Twitter, and they're all right because I'm Jimmy Chill. Every one of those people. Like when I do the mask and I gave like a lot of money to have a mask competition, a lot of people hate that. That's a good idea to hate me for that, right?
I don't know about that.
I got 3M involved.
Sure about that,
I got Honeywell involved. I got Under Armour involved, and I'm hated for that. I love that.
Anyway, speaking of Twitter, did you see the move in Twitter yesterday? It did come down as the market sort of weakened as the course of the day. It was a pivotal research note, I guess. That guy, people take that analyst pretty seriously.
Yeah, Twitter might have voice. Let's get Ned Siegel on. Unless you can get Jack Dorsey on.
So back to Apple for a moment.
Okay.
What is the thesis here in terms of why you want to buy it right now?
Well, okay, it's down 25%.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to have a 5G coming soon. Mm. That's not a refresh. That's a gigantic news cycle. The revenue streams for service are even better. You talk about Disney directed to consumer. I'm giving you the Falda director making a movie for Apple. I paid my Apple bill this week. Again, I didn't know it. I'm using the credit card exclusive contactless. I mean, I don't know. My world now revolves, my little world that's pathetic because my wife doesn't live with me anymore, revolves around this. I'm with this.
By the way, we should just make it clear to people. Yeah, it sounded like, you know, it's not. That's a choice based on the virus, correct? Not necessarily.
Oh, you mean like
that you're living separately?
Yeah, that it's a choice issue. My wife was away from me because of there's this thing called the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be socially distant by like 70 miles.
That could work.
Right.
Hey, listen,
so, but I have
way,
this.
That could be very
this is never. I talk to Siri every night.
Right.
Because I ain't got nobody to talk to.
You got nothing.
Yeah, no matter how late I go to bed, Siri, I can talk to her. She's fantastic.
That's important, too.
Yeah, she's polite. You just got to be polite to her.
That's a reason to own Apple, just because Siri can be your imaginary friend.
Google, the price started to go up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Facebook, nothing today, but $50 billion opportunity in the shops that nobody's thinking about. All right. Amazon, I mean, really? What, is Amazon doing badly if the pandemic rages again?
Of course not, but the stock is up 62% this year, Jim.
Oh, okay. I'll go. What I want to do is go buy a good steel mill. Right?
If you're in the market for one, I got a good one for you.
We have to stay away from. Hey, you want First Horizon, David? I'll give you some First Horizon.
Okay. Sold to you.
I'll give you some Truist.
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 Oh yeah, that's that.
I played Truist this. He's playing quarterback for me in fantasy. Turns out it was a bank.
All right, coming up. We're going to talk, why not talk more about that TikTok deal? Plus, a lot more. We've talked a lot about movers this morning. We've hit some research, but we got a lot more. Keep it here.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
ByteDance, of course, the Chinese owner of TikTok, filing with Beijing, with the Chinese government, for approval for that deal, for the app to be at least sold in part to Walmart. And, of course, Oracle, Jim. A question here is in terms of the export of AI, which is something that is now regulated by the Chinese government, and whether or not they will say yes to this highly unusual and significantly structured deal.
Well, it would help it, if you wanted the deal to occur, it would help for, I believe, for some of the principals for Walmart, for Oracle to come out and talk about the jobs, to appear on air. To make a case both for China and for this country, risk the wrath of the president for saying something about how China does okay. Oracle's now back to where it was before this happened, which is incredible because it's such a good deal for Oracle. But they're too secretive, David. Larry Ellison's too secretive. Safra Katz is too secretive. Doug McMillon should come on and make the case. And everyone's afraid of the president, I think, even though I know that Ellison's the support of the president. You don't want to come out and say, you know what, the Chinese could do okay here. This is a good deal, because I think the president doesn't want to hear anything about China doing well in anything. And I think that's an obstacle.
Yeah, the White House in some ways does seem to be trying to provoke the Chinese, and it'll be interesting to see if the Chinese take that or just continue to sort of step back the way that they largely have, at least over these last, I don't know, 6 months.
Well, this is
since the tensions have been ratcheted up since the virus.
Think it's good for America. Okay, 25,000 jobs, pretty good. In Austin, Oracle does well, Walmart does well. I think that the Navarro wing just doesn't want anything good to happen to China. And I totally understand. Look, I've been a hardliner.
No, you are a hardliner. But, you know, I do wonder about whether or not we're going to have this technological divergence between our country and China. I mean, it appears that that is going to be the case. And when it comes to AI in particular, which we could argue is the next significant wave and evolution of technology in the world, the Chinese are equal, if not ahead of us in some ways.
And that's not
acceptable. And by the way, this platform, I mean, people think of it as fun videos and things like that. It's AI. That's what it is. And the fact is that you may think of this as a game company, but it really is AI masquerading as that.
No, I mean, and Jensen.
And it's incredibly sophisticated artificial intelligence.
It is. And yes, I mean, that's why they use Fastly. They have to use Fastly. Fastly's the only content delivery network can actually handle all this thing. It's one of the reasons why Fastly always trades up. People don't know it, but it's Fastly is TikTok. That's how it works so well. You're so right, David. AI, as Jensen Huang would tell you, of course, the brilliant man who runs NVIDIA, is not the future, which is what Mark Benioff was saying yesterday in a great interview with Sarah Wolf. It's now. And look, as someone who's I regard myself as a patriot, you can't let AI, you can't let them win AI. AI is now. And I understand the Navarro wing entirely. But I think this TikTok deal is such a big win for America. And I cannot believe that Oracle and Walmart remain silent. Well, who are they fearing?
It's not them that they need to convince. It's Beijing that needs to be convinced.
Well, no, but they can talk
point.
About how Beijing does well, too.
Right.
All we hear about is Beijing's a big loser. They're a loser.
And how are they a winner here?
Well, it's a huge amount of money, David, versus what it would have been. Mm-hmm. By the way, Alibaba, Kerry Fireson recommended yesterday. David, I think that that stock is one that we got to keep an eye on, because when I look at what happened with Nike in China, the Chinese consumer spending like you wouldn't believe.
Chinese consumer
8% growth.
Yep. Yep.
Now, I know, again, I mean, the president does one here. It's like, oh, who is Kramer? Why is he saying this good things about China? No, it's empirical. The numbers there are very, very good. Alibaba is very good. But it is time to be able, for someone to be able to say, look, it's okay if the Chinese win something. It's a trade war. We don't want it to be a hot war. Even I don't want a hot war. I don't want to go back to the days when Nixon's visiting China.
Right.
Stealing
well,
those little
that
things.
That is the concern among some that they're trying to provoke to the point where you get to what they say, kinetic. Isn't that the word? That's
well,
we
the
don't
want it to be
word.
Like kinetic. Onto the Yalu.
Yeah. You had Benioff on the other day talking about Ellison. Let's take a listen. You don't want to do that now? Or you do? Oh, yeah. It was on Closing
Bell.
Well,
you
Sorry.
Meaning the generic.
Yeah,
you,
I like got when Benioff
Sarah
comes
Wolf.
On, I assume he's always on Mad Money.
I know, it hurt my feelings,
I'm
but that's
sorry.
Okay.
I bet it did. Well,
it did. It hurt my feelings.
Apparently,
I texted him.
You did? All right.
Well, I said, what are you doing on that show?
I don't blame you. Here's what he had to say about Larry Ellison.
You should never sell Larry Ellison short. Everyone in the world knows that. So, look, I don't understand everything that's going on, but wow, I'm so impressed by seeing, you know, them and everyone else make these aggressive moves, because I'm mostly worried about the companies that aren't making aggressive moves. Larry Ellison is the master of relevance. You know, this is a move to make him relevant. This is so important. And by the way, he's giving you a masterclass in relevance.
He's so right. Look, Ellison gave Mark his start. He worked for Ellison and he worked for Steve Jobs, which is pretty amazing, right? When he was a teenager, basically. But yeah, I mean, Larry's got to come on. Larry's a very compelling figure. And Mark is so right. This is a transformational deal for Oracle. We got to keep this in front of us, because Oracle and Walmart are huge winners, and so is the country. All right, David? David?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you.
You gonna trash J&J some point today?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Just checking.
I'm just making a point. Sometimes I like to counter some of your hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
That too. That too. All right, we got a market open about 6 minutes or so from now. Stay with us on CNBC.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we get started with trading about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes from now. You can see Accenture going to be among the laggards when we get started. And earnings miss. We had Julie Sweet on last week. We were wondering about those job cuts there, and perhaps they were looking to save some money in the wake of a revenue miss. We'll take a closer look when we come back. All right, let's get to a mad dash before we get to an opening bell. Penn National Gaming.
Yes, well, that is Dave Portnoy. Barstool merged with Penn National Gaming. There are 14 million shares being offered. Jay Snowden, who is the CEO, taking advantage of it, raising about $1 billion, has $3 billion in straight debt. He can pay it down a lot of different ways. The Deutsche Bank reiterates its sell. They've hated it for a long time. They're no fan of Portnoy either. And then Macquarie downgrades it and just saying, oh, tough over, under, not playing till line moves. These are people who don't recognize that sports gambling is the future. And Penn National has really kind of taken the torch from Wynn, from Las Vegas Sands, from MGM. They figured out Nationwide Gambling, a very, very smart company. And the sports book that was unveiled this weekend was probably one of the great love sports books. You know that Dave Portnoy is very much a captivating figure.
Yes, certainly is captivating.
Yesterday he was having a piece of pizza with Bon Jovi.
That's interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. There it is. The opening bell for this Thursday at the NYSE. SL Green Realty.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Celebrating New York's newest skyscraper, 1 Vanderbilt Avenue.
You know, boy,
right
do we
next
need
to
that,
Grand
David.
Central. It's a beautiful building. Beautiful building. Okay. Over at the NASDAQ, engineering software provider Bentley Systems celebrating its IPO. That happened yesterday. Yeah, I know. The idea of new office towers.
Maybe.
I don't know. You know what? You walk around our property here, a beautiful property. It's a lot of parking lots. There is something to be said for an urban office tower.
Well, only
as opposed
if you
to
got,
endless
if you
acreage for parking lots.
Got the Honeywell mask, or you can get, and S&P, David's now not that good here. You need the mask. I don't recommend the goggles. You don't need the goggles. I wear the goggles if I'm on a plane.
Jim, yeah. No, listen, there's no doubt that you have to be cautious. It is interesting. It's funny. I've been talking to a number of people, particularly in the investment banking community and leaders there, and there is a frustration with how few people are willing to come back to the office.
Yeah.
People, there are leaders now want people back
but
in the office.
But that
propensity
to not want to be sick.
100% or
even
50%.
I've always opted to not want to be sick if I have the
there
choice.
There are ways
to
conceivably to do this. In a place like New York where the positivity rate is well below one,
you need
there are
the
ways
Abbott
to
app.
Do this.
You need the Abbott app. You take the test. Takes 15 minutes. Now, why do we all not have this app, and why are we not using it? Because the federal government took the first 150 million, okay? They have 150 million tests. My understanding is they want to use them for students to be able to figure out whether they have it so they can go back to school.
Right.
Very noble. That way you don't have to, if you're a single parent, you don't have to choose between staying home and losing your job and helping your kid. I mean, so the government has to do it, and then Abbott's spending hundreds of millions of dollars hiring thousands of people to make it so that we can all go to CVS, take the test, get home, see that we are fine, and then use this to wand ourselves on the airplane to go to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I like it.
And
like
then
anything
go to
that
Disney
can
World.
Actually allow people to feel more positive about getting back to life.
You want to feel positive? Look at Darden.
Okay.
What
I will.
Did they do? They Tell reinstated me. The dividend.
Yep.
They actually didn't make as much. They made more money than I thought. The EBITDA, as you like to say, was very strong.
Yes.
But what it says to me is Darden won mom and pop stores nothing. Because Darden's able to stay here, have 80% of the volume that they had last year. But the average pizza place, David? What, with the 12 tables? What are we going to do for them? Do we just make them a casualty of Washington?
No. You know, it's funny you mention that, and it's a good place for us to actually play some sound from Brian Moynihan, somebody you follow closely, of course,
sure
the man
do.
Who runs Bank America. He had some comments on this very subject. Take a listen.
The sharp snapback has to be prolonged. In my view, the stimulus, though, has to be aimed much more precisely than the past. It has to be aimed at the people who are still unemployed. It has to be aimed at the performance venues and restaurants. Another round of PPP would be helpful to help those restaurants.
There you go, Jim.
Look, Brian has gone from being a conservative lawyer who ran a bank that was under the regulator's gun to being, I think, the chief spokesperson for what a bank can do to help create change in this country, positive change. Now, I know we all worship at the altar of Jamie Dimon. He's captivating. It's like Dave Portnoy. Not really. But when you listen to Brian Moynihan is talking about everything from social justice, the need to be able to help people who are out of work, and ESG. And he doesn't get enough credit, so I'm singing his praises.
No, listen, it is interesting to watch the transformation of certain executives. He's been in that seat for quite some time, and he is more confident, I think, in his views.
He's grown into it.
His willingness to articulate them, which you see. At first, as you point out, he was a lawyer. He was afraid to say anything.
Frankly. Well, I'm going to be apparently interviewing Elizabeth Warren as part of Delivering Alpha. She's not a fan of the banks.
No, she's not.
No, Charlie Scharf on the firing line.
Yes, he was. And you mentioned Wells Fargo earlier. Let's take a look at the banks, Jim.
Sure.
Because we did get those Jefferies numbers, as we pointed out, that were very strong for that company, perhaps pointing with a strong quarter in terms of at least trading and currency and commodities, things of that nature, fixed income for the likes of a Goldman or Morgan Stanley.
Well, Goldman, there was an upgrade this morning, Goldman.
Goldman is the only
UBS
name that is up amongst the big ones, and Wells Fargo's down again. I mean, well, it is at levels, decade lows.
David, let me ask you something. You remember GlenFed and CalFed? They were trading at 40% of tangible book.
Yes.
Before they blew up.
Yeah, it was a reason for that, yeah.
Well, Citi, tangible book, 70?
I know. I
mean, those are trading like Banco Santander.
Yeah.
Like Deutsche Bank, where the book obviously means nothing. Does the book really mean nothing at Goldman, so scrubbed so often without a lot of loans and credit issues?
No, I think it is important.
Well, then we have to watch that.
Now, listen, we still are dealing with a very difficult economy at which you do have to question the credit quality in certain areas, but particularly on the consumer level, particularly maybe in credit card portfolios and things of that nature, not necessarily at a Goldman.
Although
they have moved, of course, as we know, with Marcus and everything else into that consumer realm, but it's not that large a part of their business.
And I just want to I want people to understand, I have tremendous respect for Jamie.
Jamie Dimon.
He's done an unbelievable job, and my charitable trust is a big position in J.P. Morgan. I just feel that Brian Moynihan, he just needs someone like me to say great things because he's so non-promotional. And Jamie's not either, but Jamie is known, okay? He went through the torture, as did Brian, and Jamie's bank, I think, is radically undervalued, but nobody cares.
Nobody cares, David.
Look at that.
When you let me know when they ring the bell, when they start to care again, will you do that?
Well, I think Goldman at 0.9 tangible book with a 10. Dave, do you remember when you were talking about return on tangible equity would never get to 6? They're shooting for 12. Efficiency ratio.
Did you see the numbers from Jefferies? I think there were 17%, something like that.
Jefferies is unbelievable.
I mean, very large return on tangible equity there. And you're right. They're in double digits again. That said, I can remember a time, by the way, when these things, some of these small banks, you remember what Cowen and Company got sold for, 3 or 4 times book?
I know. They bought 7.9 million shares, Jefferies, for $128. That's $16.26 they paid. Record net earnings, $268 million. Investment banking did $589
million. Donald Maron sold Payne Weber to UBS for some incredible multiple to book.
What an art collection.
He's no longer with us. He passed away, but he was
okay,
a great
creator of value. Okay, so what are the three things that hold up in hyperinflation?
I don't know what.
Okay. Masterwork art.
Okay.
Mansions.
Okay.
And historically gold. So that's why my wife, whom I don't see anymore, but I am still with, I'll point out.
Good.
Says, listen, we got to buy real estate because in hyperinflation, that's the thing that holds up.
You've already got a lot of it.
We have way too many houses.
Yeah.
And she has a beat on a new one.
You got to get art and then you'll build little tunnels for the gold.
I lost a lot of art earlier on.
In a previous life.
Yeah.
And or marriage. All right.
Jim,
we looked at the laggards on the S&P. I want to come back to Accenture because this is not an insignificant company with $146, $150 billion market value. We had Julie Sweet, the CEO of the company, on last week.
Who's sort of great,
giving us
by the
update.
Way.
Yeah. But they came in a bit below. I mean, the fourth quarter, let's just go through some of the numbers.
True miss.
And I wonder whether, is it reflective of a slowdown in technology spending overall? Revenues for the fourth quarter, about $10.84 billion. That was down 2% in dollars, 1% in local currency. Consulting revenues were down 8% as well, Jim. Outsourcing revenues were up 6%. But, overall, a disappointment.
Yeah, I had Frank Calderoni on last night. Now, he's from Anaplan, small company. But he says that Deloitte doing incredibly well. EY doing incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, is it share take? Because EY is having maybe one of the strongest periods it's ever had in its history. So I am not going to make Accenture to be the reason. I'm not going to make any judgment that tech is slowing down because of Accenture. Which, by the way, if you type the symbol in, David, ACN, it always spell checks C-A-N. So you have to spell the name of this company.
Really? I get ACN.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have Apple?
No. Oh, no, I put it in a
try
fax
it. Hit up the symbol ACN. See if it doesn't come out C-A-N. Trust me.
On Apple, you mean?
No, Accenture.
I did it right
the
here.
The symbol comes out
CN. I get it right away.
All right. Listen, David, we have some work to do. All right?
I want to do scripts, and I was just looking for the actual symbol there because somehow I forgot it. They and the press release that went along with
it. You're going back to
No, this Scripps deal they're buying ION. It's $2.65 billion. There it is. And Berkshire's investing $600 million in a preferred. They're getting paid 8% on warrants for 23 million shares at 13.
They got that with Occidental.
Take a look at Scripps. I mean, by the way, it looked to be up even more than that. But the market cap of this company is less than a billion. It's a play on national advertising is what it is and sort of creating these national networks, free national networks that they're advertising. ION, I mean, you may, I don't know if you've ever seen it. A lot of, you know, a lot of those crime procedurals.
I watch those shows.
Yeah.
ION is all those shows that I just sit
they
there.
Are.
True crime. I love true crime.
Right. True crimes. So similar to, there's a Turner Network that has a lot of them.
Do you ever watch TV criminal porn, then, that show on CBS?
Criminal what?
Oh, I'm sorry, Criminal Minds.
No, I don't watch any of them, actually.
Okay. David, how about AMG?
I mean, in Law & Order, if you just walked around the streets of New York, you'd always see some version of Law & Order being filmed, one of them, right?
Absolutely.
They're a constant presence.
Absolutely.
And they were a great source of work for a lot of Broadway actors.
Jerry Orbach was one of the greats.
He was.
I saw him in Promises, Promises. He was incredible on Broadway.
That's Sondheim,
he was a genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no one's ever going to write a book about him.
No. He was a good dancer, surprisingly.
He was a song and dance man.
Yeah.
He was triple threat. Okay, AMD, David.
Wait, all right, we've moved on from Scripps. Wait, before you get to AMD, I want to come back to a name that you like. Look at him. He's got his hands up. He's like, how can you
hands up, gimme, gimme. Where's that? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that's, hands.
What?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, the
Club Med.
Club Med, yeah.
Thank you. Buccaneers Cove, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's go.
Turks and Caicos. Nicola. Is down 20%.
Well, yeah.
20%.
The Hindenburg was down about 20%.
That's a lot. That stock is quickly moving back to its offering price for the SPAC.
Is it time for Gursky and Jeff Ubben to come on from ValueAct? Maybe a little defense?
I don't know. It might be. It might be. The
defense
question
special
becomes,
teams. They need some special
You know, there is simply, listen, I know you have your issues with it. I can defend on certain areas of it as well. But when you lose the visionary, do you lose the vision?
Well, maybe the vision's like 40-40. I mean, David.
Maybe. I mean,
David.
We made that same argument. Travis.
Don't say
Travis Kalanick.
Do not compare this to Tesla, which
Uber.
A real cut. Uber. Well,
Travis left. Did they? They kind of lost their mojo, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, well, he had a different kind of culture.
He did, and it wasn't necessarily a good one.
No,
understood.
Meanwhile, David, while Nicola's, Rome is burning here. Look at this.
Those are all your friends over at Robinhood.
I have no friends. Just saying.
What about me?
Marginal. Look what's leading. I love you. Look what's leading. I spend more time with you than I do with my wife.
Yeah.
Look at this, Nvidia, David. Once again, Apple.
Yeah.
These are these are signs that there are buyers.
Yes.
It's just they don't want to be aggressive. I say the tail of this tape because you used to ask me. Remember, you used to ask me what's the key to this market.
I do.
It is Nike because Nike should turn around. It was just such an unbelievable quarter. Nike should turn around. If Nike goes green, then I'm going to say that it's not going to be a hideous day like a lot of people think it is.
Okay.
Watch Broadcom. Really fabulous recommendation. $36 million worth of Broadcom stock bought by Henry Schmuly, the chairman the other day.
Yes.
$36 million. That's real.
That's real money.
Right? And who knows whether Secretary Mnuchin doesn't come back and say, you know what, we can make a deal.
Well, that would be a real positive.
And then we get this $150 million Abbott Labs instant test.
People.
The government gives it to CVS and Walgreens or Rite Aid, which had a good quarter. And we get people back to school.
You're giving us a good news view of the world.
Good news
today.
When it's a sea of green, I go negative. When it's a
disputed election results.
Can we move on, David?
All right, let's get to Bob Pisani. Bob, take it away, please.
Good. Change the topic a little bit. So futures were down a little bit going into the jobless claims report. Jobless claims were flattish and the market dropped a little bit on that. That's one problem. The other problem is dollar's up 4 days in a row, folks. That's an interesting trend. We haven't seen that in a little while. And remember, generally weak dollar, market generally likes weak dollars. So keep an eye on that. Sectors, all 11, basically down this morning, various degrees, but energy, again, leading on the downside, tech, industrials, healthcare, consumer staples, doesn't matter. We had General Mills was up earlier on. I think we have a real problem here. The average stock is not doing very well. Average stock, what's that? Well, watch the equal weight S&P, the RSP. That is essentially at its lowest levels since going back to sometime in mid-July. That's a downtrend, folks. In fact, there's a lot of stuff in downtrends, essentially. Energy, just look at what's going on in September here. Energy, banks, even technology, small caps. This is the S&P small caps. These are all in downtrends right now. Tech's a pretty big part of the overall market, and so are banks. Tough to move when techs and banks are in a downtrend right now. As for investing styles, I know we love to talk about everything. Growth, value, quality, momentum, low volatility. It doesn't matter. Whatever investment style you have, they're all rotten in September. Everything's down 5 to 9%, as you can see here. Take your pick. Even value's not doing very well. You can't blame it on traders for getting worried. I mean, if look at the half dozen buckets that we always talk to, the stuff that moves the markets, okay? I only see one that's been a clear positive in the last few weeks. So the vaccine and treatment, that's number one. That's a positive. We're still getting good news on that. That's good news. But the reopening and stimulus, there's been a lot of negative headlines about the problems getting things through Congress. The Fed may be done. China trade, generally the headlines have been negative on that. Valuation, I think there's a problem here. I think tech stocks have benefited from coronavirus and work from home, but nobody knows how to value them. You guys love talking about Apple. I keep bringing this out. Just look at Apple here in the last couple of months. Apple goes at the end of July from $100 to $138 in the month of August, and then goes back all the way down, you see here, at $107. So let me get this right. We go from, we rally 40% in the month of August, and then we're down 20% in the month of September. Does that make any sense to you for the largest company in the United States? Does that tell you that investors are kind of clueless about how to value Apple? And this is Apple. Imagine everybody else that's much, much smaller and whose earnings trajectory, shall we say, is a little more difficult to figure out. It's no wonder everybody is confused at this point. So when I'm confused, I always call my old buddy Art Cash and ask him what goes on. We did a Trader Talk story on this morning. Art sort of explains what's going on with the market. But he tells me, you know, you're looking for logic in a market that's not logical. It's momentum driven. They ride the stocks up on the COVID stories, the COVID stocks up like Apple. And then when they get too frothy, they hit sell stops. And the momentum guys have very tight sell stops that they will sell at. And then they move down really fast. That's what happened to Apple. So he's big on watching the sell stops. Why not listen to Art? We're going to have him on at 11:30 Eastern time. He's going to explain all of this and why we should worry and not worry. Certain things we should worry about, certain things we should not worry about. My old buddy Art Cashin on with us at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. David, back to you.
Be good to see. Good to see, Art. Bob, thank you. I still maintain those SoftBank option purchases, which did involve Apple as well, may have had an outsized impact in that period you were talking about. Thank you, Bob. Let's get over to Rick Santelli now at the CME Group for a check-in on the fixed income markets. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. You know, if we look at the notion that, as Bob pointed out, for the most part, we looked at rather stagnant initial and continuing claims, meaning not much change, not much variation from last week, and that really is the point. We've stopped making a lot of progress on drops in both the initial and continuing claims, and if you look at an intraday chart of 10-year note yields, it hasn't had a huge range, but the low yields were established right after that 8:30 release, although we are continuing to melt again. 30-year bonds just slipped under 140, and we want to pay close attention to this next chart. Here's an August 1st chart of 7-year notes. As you see, in early August, they made their all-time low yield close at at 35 basis points. We're now 10 basis points higher than that, and at 1 Eastern, we'll have a record-sized $50 billion auction of those 7-year notes. Dollar index, yes, we've been on a run here. You can even see it in the euro. The euro now, this is a 2-day chart. It is at its fifth day in a row down, should it close down today, so four already in the can, and now the fifth one is in progress. The dollar index, if you see on this July chart, has really had a nice turnaround. It's hovering at two-month lows after establishing 27-month lows. So two-month highs after 27-month lows. And finally, even against the Chinese currency, here's a mid-August look at the dollar versus the onshore Chinese yuan. And what's interesting here is, also, we are starting to gain some traction after establishing 16-plus month lows against that currency in mid-September. So it's mostly weakness in the euro, but the dollar is starting to gain some momentum to the upside. But it really was the catalyst of a weaker euro, and the euro was weaker because of all the spiking COVIDs in Europe. Jim, David, back to you.
Thank you, Rick. Rick Santelli. With the bond report, well, coming up, Tesla versus the White House on tariffs. We're going to discuss that with 2016 presidential candidate, of course, the former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, Carly Fiorina. That's later this morning on Squawk Alley. Stay with us. United Airlines becoming the first U.S. airline to offer a COVID-19 testing program for travelers. The airline will offer some Hawaii-bound customers rapid coronavirus tests at the airport. That's an effort to get around Hawaii's quarantine requirements. And eventually, it plans to open up even more destinations. Passengers will be responsible for paying for the tests. Ugh. But it's kind of what you're talking about, Jim.
Yeah, but they're doing it all wrong. Gary Kelly didn't know about it either. They're just doing it all wrong. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. What you do is you connect with Abbott Labs. They're going to have millions and hundreds of millions of tests. You go to CVS or Walgreens the day before. You don't do it at the darn airport. You get this just like a ticket, like an e-ticket, and you waive it. What is with United? Are they like technologically? They're Luddites. They're Luddites. This is the way to do it. The government's got 150 million. Okay, they're taking the first two months. But then we're going to all just want. You don't do a test at the airport. That is ludicrous. You have people get it the day before. You go to Walgreens. It's good for like 24, you know, it gives you a pass, says you're negative.
Right.
You don't have a viral load instantly. If you're negative, you're negative. Then you wand through. You go that morning. Don't do it at the airport. That makes no sense. And Disney, go set up a deal with CVS, Walgreens, and Abbott. I have to broker all these things, David. I'm doing my own mask contest. Now I'm going to broker this. I get nothing. I make nothing, David. But this is the business I've chosen.
Yes, you are very wrapped up in your own mythology.
David, I'm the center of my own attention.
Yes, you are.
Who said that?
It's your world. We're just living in it. Much more squawk on the street straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. Time for Stop Trading. Square.
Yes, fintech is on the rise, too. Square upgraded by Opco. I didn't believe that anybody didn't recommend it, but it's a reassumption of coverage. Got to buy. Square is the stock to watch, David. Why? Because the stock is down 20. This is what I like. Down 20 from the high. Doing incredibly well. And along with PayPal, which got a little negative criticism of Venmo that I thought was unfair, are the two to watch. Because if we get fintech going, David, okay, and we get semi-capital equipment, which is Lam Research. We get the semis going. We get FANG going. You know what we may have?
What?
An up day.
A little early to say that, although the S&P has paired its losses. We're only down a quarter of 1%.
We can't do it yet. You got to have people flip, all that stuff. But I do think that we're a little oversold, and you can pick at things that are down 20, 30 points from a high. Don't be aggressive, please. I do like Nike.
You do what?
I do like Nike.
Yeah, I know you do. Said it's the key to this market.
It was down up 10 points more than it is now.
Right.
It was a great quarter.
All right, what do we got on MAD? What do you have MAD tonight?
Santa Fe's another vaccine play. Okay, we think there will be vaccines before that day. What are we going to have? Antibodies from Lilly and from Regeneron, and we're going to have tests from Abbott. And I got to hook everybody up with Abbott because they're doing all these crazy things, tests in airports. Please, how about a nationally recognized company with rigor? With rigor, David.
But you got to get the test still. So you got to go into your local.
You know that your pharmacist can do it. You go like this, okay? Then put it on a credit card size thing. 50 minutes later, shows up in your app, and you're free to trade. You go anywhere you want. You go to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. We're going to start getting people back into the stadium.
You really think that'll happen?
3 months.
3 months?
All yes. Right.
3 months.
Well, if the government hadn't bought all 150 million of these things. David, I have to go, but you know what? I'm going to hand it off to you for the 10.
Well, thank you, and don't go too far.
I won't.
A lot I want to talk to you about later. Okay. Thanks, Jim. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.